Hello, and welcome to Evolve Pipedrive Podcast, where we talk all things Pipedrive, sales, apps, and Pipedrive Marketplace. My name is Bruce Bignall, and I only run Evolve. We are a technology company based out of the UK, working globally, that specializes in Pipedrive. So we specialize in helping businesses get more out of the system through implementation, consultancy, and training. And today, I have the great pleasure to be joined by George Levin, the co-founder and CEO at Hints. Hints makes your data actionable. It's an AI-powered capturing tool which fits directly into all of your workflows. Now, I'm really looking forward to this conversation with George for a couple of reasons. One, because George has been living the entrepreneur and startup life for well over a decade now. He was number five employee at a VC-backed startup back in 2008, where he grew that team to become a market leader in its space. He's now the co-founder and CEO of his second company, which in December of 2022 secured over $2.2 million, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit more in detail today. So without further ado, George, please can introduce yourself and Hints to our audience.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. Super excited. So I'm George. We founded Hints in September last year. Still early stage, but already in beta, have some clients and launching officially next month. So it's a very good timing for me. I'm George. I moved to New York about 8 years ago from Russia, where I started my career. So with my first startup, GetIntent, we started it in 2013. And then we got some good traction in the US. So we decided to move with my co-founder to New York. GetIntent was an advertising technology platform, completely different thing, but it was a crazy time for advertising technology at that time. So we were growing with the market. We grew to 16 million annual recurrent revenue, and then we sold this company in 2019. And after that, I decided to launch Hints. Hints, to me, it's a dream company because I invited four of my ex-colleagues from GetIntent. So it was very cool to build another product with the same team, which just accelerated our efforts dramatically. Because as a second-time founder right now, the only thing I don't want to do and to be is to be the first-time founder because it's such a dramatic difference when you build something first time and the second time, how much time you just can save because you know some potential traps and mistakes. And one of these potential problems and challenges is building a new team. When you have your team, the team that you know, that you trust, it's just so helpful. And the idea of Hints came up during GetIntent times when the company was about 20 or 30 people. I just realized that the biggest tension, the biggest challenge was managing information flows. We had too many systems, CRMs, project management tools, Slack. And one day I realized that updating the systems was like a full-time job. And it felt like we work for the systems rather than they help us to be more productive. I just remember times when we had this massive fight between engineering teams and sales teams because engineering teams want to keep everything tracked in Jira or in ClickUp, and salespeople just don't want, they're too busy with back-to-back calls, so they just throw feature requests or bug reports into Slack, and then people start yelling at each other, like, how you think we're going to manage all this request in Slack, why can't you just open your Jira and submit a ticket?
Yeah.
So that was basically the epiphany moment where I realized that we could somehow connect messengers and productivity software and just speed up this process of tracking, tickets, tracking CRM entries and updating them. And after we sold GetIntent, I just took a very short break and we started to build Hints, where the idea was to connect messengers with CRMs and project management tools and to use AI just to streamline this process of creating new records and updating them. AI is a crucial key component because without AI, you need to update field by field in your CRM. And with AI, you can just use your natural text, you know, or even voice to text, and basically tell our AI assistant what you want. And it will understand you, will parse your text, and will update all the fields accordingly. Just to give you a quick example, let's use CRM because it's more relevant here. As a salesperson, you can either create a new deal by just asking the bot, hey, create a new deal, hints George Levin, George at hints.so, the budget is this, the deadline to close is that. Whatever information you usually track in Pipedrive, you can just either use voice to text or just text directly to the bot, and the bot will do the rest. The same works with updating deals. Mm. You can say or text, I don't know, let's imagine you have Microsoft or Bill Gates on your pipe drive, and you say, just remind me to follow up with Bill Gates on Friday. Yeah. This is it. The bot opens your pipe drive and creates a new task. It finds Microsoft, Bill Gates, and creates this task. Even the small things, like you can say Friday instead of giving the date,
exactly.
AI understands what Friday means. Or you can say next Friday, or like, I don't know, the first Monday of next month, yeah. Whatever. This is the best example of why AI is important, because it just saves you a lot of time. And it's, you know, fascinating time right now for AI because it finally works great.
I was just about to say, so was this possible? What's changed from what was possible in 2019 till now, right? With a natural language system, like, you know, GPT-3 and whatever else, which is out there. How far has it come just in these 18 months? Or it's more than that now, isn't it? But so we're recording this in Q1 of 2023. Yeah. You're about to go live with the product at the end of Q1 in 2023. So in the last 2 years or so, what's happened in that natural language space?
So yeah, it's a tricky question because from the technology point of view, some great things happened, but nothing crazy. Mm. What really happened is that everyone, like the general public, got access to this technology. So yeah. With GPT-3 and with ChatGPT, everyone can see what's going on. But the process is long enough. So GPT worked 2-3 years yeah. ago. Right now, it just works better. I guess they have more training data. And you can see some crazy things. For instance, you can see how some professionals can disappear. We wanted to hire a copywriter because I am not a native speaker and our market is US, so I wanted someone just to double check all newsletters, all communication. And now we are not hiring a copywriter because you can just send any raw text to ChatGPT and ask it to rewrite this text, sound, you know, more American. Use this tone of voice and make it more appealing.
Make it sound like Hulk Hogan.
Compelling.
Make it sound like Hulk Hogan writing yeah. my newsletters.
Exactly. And this is you know, crazy and a little bit terrifying. It adjusts.
But that point there. So maybe because I've heard this quite a lot, right? So the technology has been there for the natural language kind of the data pools are getting bigger, which allows you to. The sentiment analysis might be done quicker or you could be more nuanced, right? But what's interesting here is the public getting used to having an AI assistant, right? So when I was, you know, planning this conversation with you last night, I was thinking we started with a paperclip in Word. We then had Siri on our mobile phones in it and or Alexa or a Google assistant. But each of those, they all had the pros and cons, right? So even now, Siri on the phone, whether it's for privacy reasons, it has its limitations, right? And it's a bit as a personal assistant. But the expectations now are going to be so high in terms of what we want from our personal assistant. So whether it's so if we bring this back down to ground for an individual sales rep on the road, for example,
yep.
Instead of logging into your Pipedrive system, you open your WhatsApp and you say, update the deal with Francis at you know, at the real estate or the contractors, and it'll update that deal with a note and or set an activity to, from WhatsApp that then updates your Pipedrive. Yep. This is where we're at now. So,
yep.
But yeah, so as a business, how are you treating, obviously, and I'm sure you're going to get more access to more data from the back end, but as a business, this must be a really interesting time as a founder to educate the people that are now getting used to, for, I guess, the prompts and what to put into these things. So as a business owner, how are you treating this problem to solve? Is it the technology piece or is it the education piece to salespeople?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think we are very lucky here because we are building this business for almost 2 years with this product. And now with all this hype about GPT, now we need to educate less. Mm. When we were starting in our alpha and, you know, testing with first users, we had to educate a lot. Now, when everyone knows what ChatGPT is, it's much easier. Now it's all about logistics. It's about finding the right people and telling them that we can solve their problem. The rest, they understand. Mm. At least it's our assumption that, and what we can see from our product metrics, that as soon as people go through onboarding, then they know how to use it. They understand the idea behind it.
Yeah, because it's so intuitive, right? I think that's the,
yep.
It's not being afraid of it. This is a great use case of how it, I think it could treble productivity, I've made that number up, right? But I think it really will, in a world where, when I talk to business owners or sales directors or CRO, you know, shit data in, it doesn't matter how good your system, if the data's not going into it and being updated, then the reports out are going to be no good. Having a system like this, it allows you to, there isn't really an excuse for your reps. Like, it doesn't matter how much of a laggard your old sales reps are, or your new sales reps just don't know the system. They know how to use WhatsApp. But I keep saying WhatsApp, exactly. But from your side, I know a little bit about hints, right? So, and I think this is quite interesting about as your business. So you're Russian, you've got obviously native English speakers, you've got people in the States. So Russia, Europe, and the States. If you go to your website to try the platform now, you've got Telegram, WhatsApp, and SMS. So, and those are insights that, led by, I guess, your in-house developers or customer? How did those decisions come about?
So we started with Telegram because I personally think it's just the best platform to build on. They have great APIs, just great messenger. But we understand that WhatsApp is way more popular in Europe, and we understand that iMessage and SMS is way more popular in the US. Mm. Right now, if we check the segment of our sales use cases, then in the US, 90% is SMS. Mm. In Europe, 90% is WhatsApp. In Eastern Europe, 90% is Telegram, which is really, really funny. Mm. I am more American right now, so I use my hints more with SMS. And I also like that SMS has built-in voice-to-text.
Nice.
So the case that you describe, if you're in field sales and you want just to tell, like using hints like Siri. Yeah. That's what I do. I don't do sales. I do a lot of fundraising. And when I meet with a new investor, usually it's a conference or some public event. And I used to save new detail, new contacts to my Apple notes. And then I just had this, a lot of notes that I have to process, and I had to remind myself to put it on my calendar, like to move all the contacts from Apple Notes to my Pipedrive. So now I can just open my text messenger SMS and just say, I don't know, Bill Gates, Microsoft, create a new deal. Yeah. This is it. And now I know it's there, which is a huge relief because I don't need to keep this information in my head.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. 5 years ago, having an endless notepad in my iPhone. So that's how far things have come along, right? So what does it mean as a business owner now? You just raised this money. What's the kind of, what's a team look like? So is it heavily dev? You mentioned not having a copywriter. So are you kind of product focused at the moment? Do you have any go-to-market, like outbound sales? Like what's the split in the business like at the moment?
So we are 13 people full-time. Out of those 13 people, three are working in marketing, including myself. I mostly do marketing. And the rest work in development, so engineers. Yeah. Right now we're at the stage where we're more focused on building a product. And in terms of marketing, we don't want to do classic B2B sales. We more rely on what's called ground-up mm-hmm. approach, where we penetrate companies with individual cases, individual users, and then they just grow within the account.
Similar to the Slack model, right? I guess so.
Yeah,
That kind of organic approach there. So, what's the roadmap? So, what does the rest of 2023 look like for the business there?
So, right now we're preparing for our official launch. The difference between beta and official launch is that by March we're going to fix most of the bugs and prepare the platform to scale faster. Also, we're going to introduce a team plan. Right now, most of the cases are individual, as I said, but with the team plan, companies can use the same bot but add it to their Slack channel or to WhatsApp groups, so the whole team can use this bot for automation. This is the major thing we're expecting right now. And then, the second part of proving product market fit. Mm. Right now, product works. We see some inbound, but we have to understand how to scale the amount of users by doing our own marketing. And the best channel for us right now is influencer marketing.
Yeah.
We know that every product we integrated with have their great communities, and every community has some opinion leaders, some influencers. So we're just looking for these people, explaining them how the product works and growing through this partnership.
Yeah, and that's great. And it's quite a nice kind of transition into the next piece, which is how does Hints actually work with Pipedrive, right? So, and do you find it on the marketplace? Like how do they integrate there?
So right now, if you just go to our website, hints.so, and you select which bot you want to use, the bot will ask you what you want to integrate, and you can just reply Pipedrive. So it will send you the link to connect the bot to Pipedrive, and this is pretty much it takes 10 seconds. I'll show you later. But in terms of technology behind it, we integrated directly to Pipedrive, but we're still not part of the marketplace because we still need to go through some official process, which will take a couple of weeks. But we're already in conversation with them. And yeah, by the way, it's the second stage of our marketing strategy to go and become officially available through marketplaces.
Yeah.
That's what usually takes some time because when people are involved, it takes more time because of conversation, exchange of emails, but sooner or later we'll be there.
Yeah, no, I love it. And obviously Pipedrive is an easy to use CRM, but there are other CRMs available, right? And it sounded like you also, it's not just updating CRM, so it's updating, would it be Airtables and Notion? What other things can you do there?
So right now we integrated with Notion, we integrated with ClickUp, Jira, Trello, Google Calendar, and Airtable and Google Sheets. They are not available right now, but they're on the way. So we'll be available in a couple of months.
Nice. So we alluded to a little bit earlier that we'll have a demo. So we'll have links in the description below for to see the demo that George and I have recorded. Mm-hmm. But you can also get there'll be links in the description below for you to get your own personal demo or trial, and we'll have some discounts in the descriptions as well for you to try this out for you and all your team. So as we look to close here, George, there's a few things, right? So you mentioned, I wanted to touch upon your story about how you've obviously now a multiple startup founder. And I made a note when you were saying earlier, one of the being a second time founder, that was one of the best things about running a second business is that it's not your first. So what pain points, what I always think it's, you could read however many books on how to do something, but what not to do is a stronger, no one wants to read the book of don't do's, but some of the best lessons are in those books, right? So what are you not going to do this time round? So there's one little piece. And then about your co-founder, how did you meet that person? Is it still the same co-founder from your previous business? And what do you like about working with them how do you complement each other?
Sure. Yeah. Great questions. So in terms of mistakes and things that I would avoid this time, I would try to make everything just twice faster. And I'm ready to compromise quality. So if I need to decide between fast and great, no doubt, no hesitation, fast.
What? Okay. So on a metric, 0 being quick and 100 being quality, right? So what's your measure of how much quicker to how much better does it have to be? Because I've got something that Marco, my colleague, will laugh when I tell him what I always say here. But what is there a percentage rule that has to be quick over good?
I think it's not about percentage. It's all about what is the goal. And the goal when you start a new business is to speed up the understanding of your market and your users. Basically, learning is essential and it's number one priority. If you can launch the product which is not ready and has some bugs, you have to do it because you will collect a lot of feedback. And if users are super angry that something doesn't work, it means that you did everything great, that they wanted this feature. Mm. And they are upset it doesn't work. The worst scenario is when you launch something doesn't work and nobody complains. It means that nobody wanted
it's data, right? It's feedback. Otherwise, you're going to build the most wonderful product to go outside and the world moved on or no one actually needs it or wants it.
Yep, exactly.
So what I say to my colleague Marco, who I think you've dealt with before, is it doesn't have to be perfect, but it can't be shit. So it's that's our rule of thumb. So because there's only one time, there's one time that someone sees it, or there's one time that someone's used it for the first time. If they get it, or if they see if it doesn't, they're not repulsed, then they'll come back. And if they come back and you've improved upon it, even better. So that's the rule of thumb.
Exactly. Yeah, with my first business, I was way too serious, taking time, you know, thinking a lot of hesitation, a lot of meetings, calls, what's the best way to do this. Now, it's crazy. We can decide to do something at 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. we already launched new release of the product. Okay. So it's very quickly, and it takes some... It's hard to learn to do this. That's why I think if you write a book about being a successful startup founder, it makes no sense. Mm-hmm. If people read it, nobody will do the same. You have to go through the whole process when you understand why moving fast is actually critical, not just a cliche from a fancy startup book. Because now I understand that if we move quickly, we can just get to the product market fit stage faster. We can unlock a new round of fundraising with this. We can raise more money, hire more people, build a better product. And basically each iteration, if you can save 5, 10, 15 days, Eventually, at the end of the year, you may get to the your desired point of destination 3 months faster.
Yeah.
So that's the outcome.
So then where does you and your co-founder fit in here? So is this, are you bringing this to the table the second time around, or is he pushing you here? And how did you meet as well?
Yeah, so both my co-founders, Alex and Vlad, they worked at GetIntent, my previous startup. They were not co-founders at that time. They were part of the team, but we had great experience. So I decided to invite them and become co-founders when we started to build Hints. Alex, he is in charge of product. He is very analytical, and he's the person who thinks, you know, in terms of product, in terms of product market fit. Gleb, he's more human person. He talks to our early adopters. He's constantly on the calls, trying to understand what they want, what works, what doesn't work. And my main goal is, let's call it general marketing and fundraising. Mm. Fundraising is extremely important for us because startups can grow differently. You can grow step by step, taking your time. But if you decide to go on this venture path, you have to move extremely, extremely quickly because it's a competition. Mm. If you do it on your own pace, it's great. It's not. I don't think that some way is better than another way. I guess it depends on your personality and what you want. When we started Hints, the last thing I wanted was to raise money and start this crazy hustle again, yeah, as we did with my previous company, GetIntent. Because having investors in this equation just kills the whole vibe. Mm. You have to do everything super quickly. There is always something on top, someone who, you know, not yells at you, but tells you guys like faster competition. And it's kind of annoying. So when we started Hints, we didn't want to raise money. We were building slowly, just bootstrapping. And then I realized that for some reason, I enjoy this, to be in this venture field and venture realm. I don't know, maybe it's my psychological problem, but I like this pressure. For some reason, it feels boring without this pressure. And that's why we decided to raise money for Hints. And then all over again, another startup, another race against your cash flow. As always, I think all startup founders, they know this drill. When you constantly have to raise more money because the team is growing, everything's growing, and you have somehow to raise money before you know, before all major events, yeah, of your startup.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's great. Have you got a favorite use case that you've seen from Hints at the moment, or that you like to share with, you know, if
sure, yeah. Yeah. So I'd love to share a couple of small, nice tricks that I personally use. Mm. I really love our Google Calendar integration. So whenever I send an invitation, I use it and send it from my Telegram. I love it because I don't like to open too many apps, too many windows, because I know it distracts me. So I really love that if I want to talk to someone or just block time on my calendar, I can open Telegram and create this event from there. And the second best example is we use Notion a lot with the team. And with Hints, you can integrate Hints to any of your Notion database and update your tables where you track some tasks. Or some people, by the way, use Notion for their personal CRMs. Mm. So you could also use Hints, and AI can understand the meaning of each column and just fill out the whole table for you. So I love this Notion integration. But in terms of save time and energy, obviously, it's CRM integration because I still do a lot of fundraising. Fundraising is all about someone tells you no, but there is all this different excuse why, or sometimes it's not excuse, it's something important like, okay, let's talk end of March, when you have 10,000 MRR, we are open to conversation.
Yeah.
And this is very critical information. And I don't like to open my pipe drive 25 times a day to update this information. So I just forward it. I know it's there. I know it's tracked. The reminder is there. So the first two cases, they are nice to have, cool and funny. The third one with pipe drive, it literally just saves me a lot of mental energy. Mm-hmm. It saves me a lot of time, but mental energy is more important, because I don't want to be this person, all this, you know, burned out and thinking about everything. I know that now I can just forward stuff. It's there. I can move on and do something else.
Yeah, no, I love it. And thank you for that, George. That you've got me thinking about some other use cases that you might be able to use a chatbot with your CRMs in the future. And one was actually getting data back from it. So what deals have I got in the pipeline? And then it replying back.
Exactly. Yeah, we're building this right now. It already works for some integrations. So I use it for calendar. You can ask the bot, show me my meetings for today or for tomorrow. And the same will be available for pipe drive soon. So like, show me my last five deals.
Yeah.
Show me my reminders for next week.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's a really interesting time to kind of get involved, right? So if you are listening to this, I would, you know, stress giving it a try yourself for your reps and things like that, because this space is going to heat up, and obviously George and what they're doing at Hints are leading the way. So George and everyone listening, thank you for listening to Evolve Pipedrive podcast. We talk all things Pipedrive, sales, apps, and Pipedrive marketplace. At Evolve, we're trying to help people that are on Pipedrive or considering the CRM switch get the most out of the system. So if you found this insightful, please let us know what you think in the comments. Hit like, subscribe, or share with someone that you think would find this useful. We do value all your feedback. And George, thank you once again.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Cheers.